Welcome to the Phil Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 12:55 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is June 4th. We had a meaningful move in stock markets today in direct response to a statement from Jay Powell, which was perhaps stating the obvious, but it added some confirmation for investors that the Federal Reserve is alert to their concerns. So we've had a bounce in markets. This is a meaningful bounce, particularly for the NASDAQ, because it countermanded the decline that we had yesterday. But more importantly, it's confirming support in the region of the trend mean. Upside follow-through would confirm a low of at least near-term, potentially medium-term significance. Having unwound about half of the advance up from the lows in December, this is a natural area where we might anticipate some support coming through. What we are basically seeing from the Federal Reserve is that back in January, just after Jay Powell took the job, the market pulled back by 10% and then quickly rebounded. Over the course of 2018, the Federal Reserve persisted in raising interest rates and reducing the size of the balance sheet. This dual are these two ways of contracting money supply and liquidity, I think perhaps more correctly, caused a great deal of alarm in the eyes of stock market investors, and the market pulled back by 20%. That was enough to introduce the Powell put. Now we have additional evidence that the Federal Reserve is alert to the concerns of investors. This was particularly interesting, for example, for the Dow Jones. It had broken down out of what is effectively a three-month range in here at the end of last week. Now it is pushing back above that 25,000-point level, and there is I think we can say here that the dynamic of the rebound is bigger than the dynamic of the breakdown. So there is a strong potential now that we're going to go back up and test the upper side of the range. The upper side of the range is 2,000 points away. So there is, I think, scope here for a short-term rebound at the least. And this also coincides with the region of the trend mean. So if we do get upside follow-through tomorrow, it would be very confirmation-oriented in terms of at least a near-term low. Well, when we then think about what is going on in terms of the wider economy, we've had a flat yield curve, depending on how you want to define it, it's inverted or not. Then you have the PMI, which was released today, and it was weaker than expected. And it's down now to 52 and trending down. We already have negative PMIs in Germany, in the UK, in France, in South Korea, in Japan. So, and also the PMIs in China have been deteriorating. So these are important signs that there is pressure on the global economy. This is not just idle chatter. Then the underperformance of the FANG sector. And this index is equal weighted. So on aggregate, the FANG sector has been doing nothing for more than a year, but it was off its lows in here today. So there is the scope for a rebound in here. That's particularly, I think, important for a company like Amazon. Amazon has been the buy the dip company for the majority of retail investors. It is right in the region of the trend mean and is starting to steady a little in here today. It absolutely needs to follow through on the upside in order to confirm more than short-term support in the region of the trend mean, but so far this is at least a pause. Now we are at a point where when you have a flat yield curve and deteriorating purchasing manager indices, and then the leading shares in this bull market starting to underperform, then one has to be alert to the potential that there are problems out there. It is all down to monetary policy. And if the Federal Reserve is at least alert to the risks that are being priced into both the stock market and the bond market, then we do have the potential to avoid a recession, but we're going to have to see interest rate cuts sooner rather than later in order to affect that. This trend we've had in the 10-year price has been among the most consistent anywhere. The reactions have been in the order of about 2.5 points, and the rallies have also been of approximately that magnitude from the old highs. We got to 127.5 earlier on this week, and now the potential is that we're going to get some consolidation, and the 125 area should offer an area of support, and that is assuming that this trend remains consistent. We can also look at the size, excuse me, the length of the consolidations. The one between January and the middle of March was approximately 10 weeks. The one from the beginning of April to the latter portion of May was about 7 weeks. So the duration of the consolidations is shortening up, even though the size of the reactions is relatively similar. That's quite normal. The size of the reactions is usually the most consistent thing you see in a trend. So that 125 area should hold if this is still a consistent environment. Well, some weakness in government bond prices should be supportive of some strength in the equity markets. But what the markets are starting to price in is easier monetary policy. And that's what's going to have to be delivered if we're going to see additional inflation of asset prices. What it also begins to suggest is that the Federal Reserve is willing to think about the potential for the market to accelerate higher and weighs that against the downward potential from a recession. I think there is the clear potential now that the Federal Reserve is willing to tolerate a bubble risk. Now, when we think about the longer term, in terms of, for example, the S&P 500, it has been ranging now for the last year and a half, and there is the potential for a break on the upside and a sustained move below, excuse me, above the 3,000 level if we do get easier monetary policy. That is going to take at what are on the higher side of reasonable valuations and potentially inflate them. And that's when we get bubble risk. This is also the stage in the cycle where there is the potential for acceleration. And considering the fact that we have had a range going on now for 18 months, there is the potential that we get an acceleration on the upside. And that is contingent on the Federal Reserve reducing interest rates, unwinding the hasty decision to continue raising rates back in December. They're already starting to talk about that being a mistake, so they might be willing to countenance the possibility of taking the interest rate down back to where it was before the interest rate hike. When we then think about what's going on in Europe, well, if the Federal Reserve is going to raise interest rates and, excuse me, cut interest rates and stop reducing the size of the balance sheet, that should sap interest in dollar longs. And the euro has been rallying now for 3 days. It wasn't quite able to hold all of its advance in here today. It's now testing the sequence of lower rally highs. There has been a loss of momentum in terms of its decline over the last 4 or 5 weeks. It's going to have to sustain a move back above the 113.5 area in order to sustain a break above the trend mean, break the sequence of lower rally highs, and confirm more than short-term support around the 110 area. But there is the potential it's going to do that if the market starts to really give credence to the potential for an interest rate cut by the Fed. When we think about what's going on in terms of European stocks, they've been badly in need of a catalyst. And the Euro Stoxx index was up about 1% in here today. It is confirming support in the region of the trend mean and following through on the better performance we had yesterday. Then the DAX index had put in an upside Q reversal yesterday and then followed through on the upside with a dynamic move on the upside in here today. Well, that is helping to confirm near-term support around the 11,500 level and the region of the trend mean. It sustains the progression of lower rally highs that's been in evidence since the beginning of this year. I do think that Europe is reasonably cheap on a valuations basis, and there is the potential that with the success of populist parties and the fear that that has put into the conventional parties, that there is the at least the potential for a discussion about the wisdom of fiscal austerity going forward. And the damage that's been done to the German economy from the slowing of economic growth internationally is leading to the potential for deficit spending there as well. So there is the scope that we could have a meaningful change to policy if, for no other reason than we see a picking up once more of support for a quantitative easing program. There is, I think, the scope for additional monetary easing from the Eurozone, and that should be positive for the stock markets. What I thought was interesting in here today was that the Greek market was in negative territory. That's despite the fact that it has been a clear leader in terms of performance. What it also suggests is that some people might have been playing the pairs trade. That was a big move we had last week, and now we're getting some consolidation. What was also, I think, rather important in here that today was that the banks bounced. They have been really quite oversold, but this was the first sign of support coming back in the region of the lows put in December. And that does suggest that we have a low of at least near-term significance, right in the region of the lower side of this evolving 8-year base formation. So Europe does look like it's beginning to pick up some interest in here, and I think it is worth paying more attention to because of the potential that the dollar's rally is coming towards an end. Now, when we think about what's going on in terms of the gold price, well, it rallied rather impressively yesterday and has held on to that advance in here today. It has now clearly broken the progression of lower rally highs over the course of the last 4 months. Now the question is, how quickly is it going to push up and through that $1,350 area? We have a clear rounding characteristic in terms of this base formation that's been underway since 2013. I rather thought that the base formation was over at the beginning of 2018, and then it came all the way back down to test the $1,200 area. It's now rallied back and confirmed support in the region of the trend mean once more. Now it has to push on to new recovery highs and hold that move. That will be outright incontrovertible evidence that we're back in a demand-dominated environment for gold. So there is the potential that I think there is more potential for that to in fact occur now than there was 2 weeks ago, because we have evidence of at least the downward bias to trading this year having been broken. That has been a bullish catalyst for the Gold Bugs Index, or the unhedged gold miners, and it has pushed back above the trend mean in here today. So that's rather important. Now you can also see clearly that there has been a progression of lower rally highs evident since 2016. Now the question is, are we going to see an additional move higher to take out the peaks put in earlier this year and to break this downtrend and to confirm renewed interest in the gold mining sector? I continue to think that if gold prices are going to be able to hold the $1,300 area, then there are a lot of gold mines out there are making significant profits, considering that there is a really solid handful of companies that have got all-in sustaining costs in the region of $850 to $900. So that kind of margin is something that you just don't usually see in the mining sector, and It should generally be rewarded by investors. There's not much sign of that yet, but it would seem to be inevitable, and most particularly if the gold price can push up and through that $1,350 area. Then oil prices, having pulled back over the course of the last few days, were in positive territory in here today, but not in a dynamic manner. This has been a very meaningful pullback. It has broken the uptrend from the beginning of this year. It also raises the potential that we are in now in a much more volatile environment. We're also at the upper side of the trading band that's been evolving now for 4 years. I think there is ample scope for additional rangy environment where we're going to get much more choppy action. That could be both up and down. It's less likely we're going to get a consistent trend evolving from this level. There are a lot of questions outstanding about supply and indeed demand, and that is likely to affect the ability of the commodity to trend reasonably consistently. What's also worth monitoring at this stage, I think, is the weakness of the industrial resources. But they have been pulling back now for 7 or 8 weeks and are right in the region of the lows put in at the beginning of this year. So we do have scope for at least some steadying here. There is a lot of damage has been done to the consistency of the uptrend from 2016. In fact, we had a completed type 2 top, and this continues to look like right-hand extension. It's going to have to sustain a move back above the 3,000 level in order to confirm a return to demand dominance. But of course, China is by far the biggest demand growth driver for industrial resources, and the pressure that's coming to bear on the Chinese economy as a result of the trade war is obviously affecting those demand growth forecasts. When we look at the continuous commodity index, it's right in the region of the lower side of the range that's persisted for the last 3 years, and it continues to firm. When we look at some of the grains and beans, then we can see that the rebound that's been underway has been one of the primary factors in the ability of these soft commodities to sway the outperformance of the continuous commodity index versus the LME metals index. Coffee prices in particular have now pushed back above the $1 area and have improved upon that performance. Now it's stabilizing above the trend mean. That's potentially in the process of breaking the sequence of lower rally highs over the last 2.5 years. It did do that at the end of 2018 and failed to sustain the move. So the true arbiter is whether now it is going to be able to sustain this move above the dollar area. And that would really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment beyond short-term steadying. Well, we probably should be taking a look at what's going on in China. And the A-share index was in negative territory in here today, but you can see very clearly on the daily chart how inert trading has been over the last 6 weeks. This is a manufactured range, and this is clear evidence that the administration in China is looking at the stock market. They do not want to see a meaningful pullback. That's equally true of the banking sector, where we have had a completely inert environment over the last 6 weeks. This is completely out of character with the kind of trading activity we can usually anticipate from the index. What it appears is that China is very keen to display in terms of stock market performance that there's nothing to see here. Of course, we also know that the unlisted regional banking sector is under a state of duress because successive avenues for funding have been eliminated, and that is a very significant factor. Tight liquidity in China is a meaningful issue. China ran an enormous deficit last year in order to support the economy. The appetite for continuing to run deficits is going to be one of the key arbiters for global liquidity growth. That's also part of the reason why the industrial resources are so weak right now. And then, of course, there is the question of when, rather than if, the renminbi is going to weaken. And it's still around this 690 area, and there is obviously a determination to try and arrest the decline, but the trend does look clear, and China needs a weaker currency. The offshore renminbi has been a little more volatile, and it is also ranging around the 6.9 area. There's a small arbitrage there, but it's quite obvious that they're defending the seven area, and it's only a matter of time before it breaks, in my opinion. Then, when we look at what's going on in India, what we've seen is that there aren't very many indices that are pushing on to new all-time highs. India was one of them yesterday. It was in a little weaker stage in here today, but this looks like a breakout from the range that persisted for the 6 months previous, and there is scope for additional upside in here. One of the things that investors are most worried about with India is the fact that the valuations are on the higher side. That's particularly true of some of the consumer shares, but the potential for growth is obviously what is helping to drive this market higher. And I think one of the people I've been talking to at this conference I'm at was an Indian fund manager. He was rehashing a number of the points we've been talking about with regard to India over the last few years. But one thing he did mention was that since Modi won the election a couple of weeks ago, that he has announced $1.7 trillion in infrastructure projects, and that's very significant for a country that is badly in need of infrastructure. Indian infrastructure growth, particularly at the current time when commodity prices are reasonably low, is potentially a rather significant boon for demand growth. We, of course, will have to see follow-through in terms of those commitments before drawing those conclusions, but certainly India does represent a demand growth scenario similar to what China had 20 years ago, considering just how much infrastructure they need. Now, I think when we think about what we can anticipate next, the fact that the Federal Reserve has clearly signaled to markets that they are at least alert to their concerns, most particularly alert to the fact that the bond market is pricing in interest rate cuts. Well, the stock market has taken it to heart that there is a Powell put. And as long as people continue to believe that and the Federal Reserve remains alert to the risks that are outstanding, then we can have a bull market persisting, generally speaking, in the first half of the third year of the US presidential cycle, which is where we are right now. You do get a somewhat larger pullback, and we have had that. Now, if this is the end of that, then this was a pretty minor affair, and it does hold out the prospect of a bubbly environment starting to take hold. I think there is a clear risk that ranges or explosions waiting to happen. If we do get additional monetary accommodation, that it is potentially a rising potential that we're going to have an explosive breakout on the upside, and that's meaningful in terms of the argument that this really impressive decade-long bull market will eventually climax with rather frothy valuations. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.